So Holy Week begins with a bit of drama, the acting out of ancient prophecies. The time, the place, the symbols, the route are all carefully chosen so that the scriptures will be fulfilled. Jesus enters Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, fulfilling the words of the prophet Zechariah. On that day, the Lord's feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east. Then the Lord my God will come. This is the day of the Lord, the day that God will act to liberate God's people and become king over all the earth. So Jesus arranges for his disciples to bring him a donkey, a colt on which he's going to ride into the city. And again, the message from Zechariah is unmistakable. Your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and he shall command peace to the nations. And the crowds know the script, and so they take up their role in the drama. And they respond with the words of Psalm 118, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And they go to the fields and they cut palm branches, they wave them in the air, and they spread the branches on the road that Jesus is traveling on. And this too is drama. It's an acting out of the Feast of Sukkoth, the great Jewish festival, which commemorates the Exodus, the liberation of the people from slavery. So this is the day of the Lord. This is the day that Jesus comes as a king, coming to liberate us. So no wonder they were so excited. No wonder there were shouts of joy as Jesus made his way into the city. So this palm branch that I'm holding is a symbol of that joy. It's the sign of a king. It's the hope of liberation. But you know what we do with this branch on Palm Sunday. We take it and we turn it into a cross. Have you ever tried to make a palm cross? It's not as easy as it looks. There's a twist. Quite literally, in order to turn the palm branch into a cross, you've got to twist it. And with that twist, the palm cross now has a meaning, which is almost the exact opposite of the palm branch that represents liberation. The palm cross becomes the symbol of execution. And anyone messing with the Roman Empire would have been executed by Caesar in a painful public deliberate death on the cross. So if we identify ourselves with that gospel, how would we choose to be? Where would we see ourselves in that drama? Perhaps we're in the crowd praising Jesus. Perhaps we're singing and we're waving palm branches in his honor. But then only a short time later, again we find ourselves in the crowd. But this time, we're calling out, crucify him, crucify him. So how did that crowd in Jerusalem turn so quickly? How did our palm branches get twisted into crosses? Part of the answer seems to revolve around expectations, those of the crowd in Jerusalem, and perhaps our expectations of what Jesus is like as well. The crowd on Palm Sunday, they were elated. They had expectations that were sky high. They understood Jesus' arrival as the fulfillment of something that they'd been hoping for, waiting for, and longing for thousands of years. Jesus is the fulfilling of their hope. He was this long-awaited king who was suddenly going to bring liberation. Of all the names that we can give to Jesus, perhaps one of the most dangerous is that of naming him a king. Dangerous, that is, for us, not because it's untrue, but because the notion of a king is so easily misunderstood. So the crowd on Palm Sunday expected this King Jesus to be the king of the Jewish people. They wanted him to liberate them from the Roman oppression, by overthrowing the Roman oppression and restoring the Jewish people to political and military power. They wanted to exchange one human power structure for another. They wanted to put themselves on top of the occupying forces. But of course, Jesus has a completely different vision of what liberation might look like, what it means to bring about the kingdom of God. His mission was to bring healing to humanity that was broken, not just to his own group of people, but to all people. This is a king for everyone. This is a king who will bring liberation to the oppressed, to bring forgiveness and mercy instead of condemnation and hatred. His mission was to bring peace, to restore us all to harmony and to wholeness. And for those who were looking for a king who was going to be some kind of military leader, they would soon, within days, realize that their expectation of Jesus had turned into seeing him as being an absolute failure. So much that when Pilate asks the question at Jesus' sham trial, "Are you the king of the Jews?" almost everybody there knows that the answer is no. But it's easy for us to fault the crowd of 2,000 years ago for having the wrong expectations of Jesus. We've all got expectations of what we want Jesus to be like. We all come with our own understanding of who he is. We might think of him as a teacher, a healer, a king. Maybe we even think of him as being the Son of God. But whatever expectation we may have of Jesus, whatever it is that we're hoping for from him, we need to be prepared to bring those understandings, those hopes, those expectations, and maybe even those disappointments ultimately to the cross. There, those thoughts and feelings will take a deeper meaning. They'll be reshaped, perhaps expanded, even overturned. And the cross serves as a constant reminder of our expectations, our understandings, maybe even our hopes and our dreams. So we might think of Jesus as a great teacher, and of course he is a great teacher. But what happens to that understanding of Jesus as a teacher when we take that understanding to the cross? What happens when the teacher is put on trial, when he suffers and he dies? Maybe through that suffering and death, we'll get a deeper sense of meaning of what Jesus was actually trying to teach. Maybe we start to realize that there's more going on here than just mere teaching. So maybe we expect Jesus to be on our side. Maybe we expect him to help us to do well in life, maybe provide moral insights or comfort us when we're feeling troubled. Or maybe we even want Jesus to leave us alone, but he's not going to do that. Whatever our expectations of him are, when we bring them before the cross, Jesus has got a way of overturning them, going against the conventional wisdom, nudging us into new and sometimes uncomfortable ways of looking at things. And sometimes the uncomfortable and the alternative can bring a deeper sense of meaning and liberation. So I'm going to hang on to this palm cross because it is the symbol of the one who was expected to be king, but ultimately was nailed to the cross. It's the symbol of the person who was expected to save his people from their enemies, but instead he saved both his people and his enemies through his death on the cross, bringing everyone back to God, showing us what it truly means to love and forgive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.